So for today's expose, I am featuring Lockheed. Ooh, I love it. Lockheed's a beautiful purple dragon. Almost like Madame Mim was, except she wasn't quite purple. But you probably know more about him than me, but I know he's just like a dragon. He hangs out with like Kitty Pryde sometimes and Ileana sometimes, and can like breathe fire and fly and has empathy too. Oh my god. Oh, he was created in February 1983, first appeared in the Uncanny X-Men number 166 by Chris Claremont and Paul Smith, writer and artist. Apparently, he was in the New Mutants movie a little bit, sporadically. She had the little stuffed animal of him that she's like, I'm going to carry my Lockheed around.
I mean, if we can't get the real dragon, like, that was a cute little addition. I like to think that they would have brought him alive in, like, one of the movies, because there's supposed to be three.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even maybe if she goes into, what is that little world she goes to? The astral
Limbo.
Plane? What
is it?
Limbo. Yeah. You think he'd be alive in there, at least.
Yeah. And one thing, I know we don't like him anymore, but I do love his work. Joss Whedon, I think, made the most, like, brilliant little twist on Lockheed.
Astonishing X-Men?
Yeah, Astonishing X-Men. Yeah. When we found out that Lockheed was sent to spy on Kitty Pryde. Like, she didn't meet him by chance.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, it's found out that he's sentient, he can speak, they just don't understand his language, and he was there to spy on the X-Men for Abigail Brand.
I go where I wanna go. Jean!
Scott!
Jean!
Hello and welcome to this week's Solving for X. I'm Sean. I'm the ultimate excavationist.
And I'm something of an X fan myself, Kevin.
I'm doing this. And we're here to talk about Love in Vain today. Are you so excited to talk about Love in Vain?
I am, in a weird way.
Okay. So, before we get to the episode, last week's question was, who is your favorite Summers brother? So, Kevin, how do you think this vote turned out?
I didn't even get a chance to peek at it, so I'm thinking probably Havoc won.
So, I'll start with the least. So, Vulcan got one vote, 3%, so I guess nobody really likes Vulcan. Adam X, our extreme, got 3 votes at 8%, so he's a little more popular than Vulcan.
Adam X, that's what I was trying to think of last episode.
Oh, okay, yeah. I've known him both as Extreme and Adam X, so I think his actual name is Adam X, but his code name is Extreme.
Gotcha.
So this next person got 14 votes, and the top got 18 votes. So, Havoc came in at 39%, and Cyclops came in at 50%.
I love it! Yay! Well, he's the popular choice. He's the like the leader and like one of the OG five. Of course, I get it. Oh my god, I love it!
I like how your scream went so high pitched I couldn't quite hear it all. It was in like chops.
That's my Trixie Mattel scream, the bird scream.
Oh, it sounded more like Lenore Zahn Rogue scream.
Oh yeah, there's that too. I mean, both of them are bird screams. really.
Cool. So yeah, apparently like people do like Cyclops because he won the vote. So I know that makes you happy.
It does make me happy.
So I'm going to give a little spoiler alert. We did do the vote a little early. We are doing this episode a little early because I'm going to Paris.
I know.
So thank you, yeah, Everybody who caught on to the early vote. I'm glad that we got a lot of votes still. And you can look for the next vote at the regularly scheduled time, because it's going to be in between seasons. So we won't get the answer to the last vote until we start season 4.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Season 4 out of 5, Kevin. We're almost there.
Yeah, I know.
I know I told you this the other day, but I'm so excited for season 4. Like, all the best episodes are in season 4, I think. I love
really?
Season 4.
Really? Okay, fun.
Yeah.
Fun.
But we're not here to talk about X-Men season 4. We're here to finish X-Men season 3.
Okay, here we go.
So, Love and Vain aired June 11th, 1995. This is another one that was shown out of order. This was actually shown during season 4, but since we're going by the story date, it fits in at the end of season 3. Mm. The only thing I could think of as to why it fits in here is the comic that this is heavily based on took place just after the Phoenix Saga. It was kind of the wrap up of like, we just met the Shi'ar, we're on an adventure with Lilandra, but yeah, we don't really get those elements so much in this episode.
Okay.
So this was written by Martha Moran, and it was directed, that's the word, by Larry Houston. So I think we should talk about the brood in the room really quick before we start, because a lot of people are probably confused by this. So we actually got to see the brood in the Mojo Vision episode. If you remember, they were a cameo. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
that's
they look like the brood.
I've seen them. Yeah.
Yeah. So the brood that we get here are nothing like the brood that we saw in Mojo Vision.
No. So that's why I saw them. I was very confused, like what these were. I'm like, I don't recognize these things.
So. Yeah, the reason Larry Houston actually was asked about this, and the reason he gave is they didn't even know if there was going to be a season 3, so when he did the cameo, he was doing it just for fun. But then when they were adapting this episode, actually animating the brood as they look would have been harder. So they kind of made their own alien species that's easier to animate and then less more distinctive because they're their own race basically.
Okay,
so there's your reason.
Yeah. All right,
do you like this design or do you like the original brood design?
I like the original. This is like weird. It's like, I mean, it's like mixing like Terminator with alien, like technological. It's like, because the weird tentacle things, I don't understand the tentacle things.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that, because Chris Claremont was very inspired by Terminator and Aliens. Like, I just learned today that Kitty Pryde was actually based on a young looking Sigourney Weaver. Like, that's what she was designed to look like.
Okay.
Yeah, and then of course we talked about Days of Future Past. It's basically like Terminator.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. A huge effect on the culture, those Terminator
exactly.
movies.
Mm-hmm. All right,
should I start scene 1?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Nighttime at the manor. Scott and Jean kiss as horny Rogue in a t-shirt spies on them. She be jelly. Take that, bedpost. She wants love and affection too.
Oh, poor Rogue in a t-shirt.
I know.
So, meanwhile, in outer space, an Akanti, or flying red space whale, if you will, flies through space towards Earth. Kevin, this is our first cameo.
Ooh.
Don't worry about our stinger. We'll make sure we can.
Cameo.
So the Akanti first showed up in Uncanny X-Men 156 in January 1982. So the Akanti are pretty epic in, like, they're one of the first sentient organisms in the Marvel Universe. They're said to be, like, very peace-loving, very beautiful. They love music. In every generation, there's a prophet singer. I'm just throwing some stuff out there for discussion later. There's a prophet singer, which is like the leader of all the Akanti. So they all follow the prophet singer. And then at the end of the prophet singer's lifespan, it flies into a star to basically like commit suicide. And then that way it unleashes the prophet singer to move on to the next Akanti. And then all the Akanti follow that one. So what we're seeing here is, and it's not really talked about in this episode, is the Brood being this evil bitch-like species who can like put their will onto other people. They actually subdued the Prophet Singer and killed it and kept it on their planet because they knew that the Akanti would never leave its side as long as they had it. So that way they had access to all these Akanti that they could take over and ride as spaceships.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So if it's dead, it doesn't, once it dies, doesn't it move on to the next one? How come they can keep that one?
Because according to the Akanti myth, like whether it's something that it's just their belief or whether it's actually something within their species, they don't leave the side of the one that's dead because it never moved on to another one. So until that body is thrown into a star, the prophet singer spirit will never move on to another. So they bound to the corpse.
Wow.
Yeah.
And here, I saw this thing. I'm like, what a cute little space fish. I was like, this thing's adorable. I love, and then I'm like, oh, and then it looked like it was dead. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I was very sad.
So the one we see in this episode, it's still alive. It's just taken over by the Brood. But yeah, they're pretty tragic species. We always see like the most beautiful, like peaceful species are the ones that somebody takes advantage of.
So rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. A shirtless Wolverine. Oh, he's sitting on a mountain or whatever. Witnesses the Akanti crash land on Earth. He sees cockroaches from Mars exiting the whale. Wolverine tries to jump the aliens, but they easily dispatch him. They zap him with an energy that disorients him. The Brood discuss their plan to target Wolvie and make him one of them. I was like, I'm kind of into this. Because like, I would totally watch that porn where Wolvie gets taken by aliens and probed. Like, sure, why not? He's already shirtless, ready to go. Looks like they were like rubbing his nipples for a little bit. I'm like, what is happening?
You're such a pervert. I love it.
I really am. I'm like, I'm just little tingles. It's fine.
Yeah, and this scene seems really random in the beginning because like, A, why is Wolverine shirtless in the desert? And B, why does the ship just so happen to crash land like behind him? But then we kind of find out they're targeting him.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. All right. Back at the manor, Rogue is reading Witch's Brew, A Dream of Waking, available on Amazon. And she's really enjoying it. In fact, she plans on leaving a review on Amazon to help the book succeed. Shameless plug. She's mad she has to put it down as Gambit comes into her room. Gambit makes a pass at Rogue, but she rebukes him. Hark, suddenly the landline rings. It's Cody. And our first 90s moment. A landline.
You got mail. 90s moments.
But I love it because she's like so like in Gambit's face, she's like, oh, what? You wanted me to touch? And then she's like, hello, it's me, Rose, on the phone.
Hot sugar. So this is our next cameo, even though we don't really see him yet, but Cody Robbins. Come
out, wherever you are. Don't worry about us, Dingo. We'll make sure we can.
Cameo.
He made his first appearance in Uncanny X-Men 185 in June 84. The biggest difference between this episode and Cody in the comics, he never woke up from his coma in the comics. So the story goes a little different. We'll talk about it, though. We'll talk about
it. So how long was he in a coma for then? Forever? He just died that way?
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
But yeah, this episode kind of takes two separate storylines, the Cody storyline and the Brood storyline, and smushes them together in their own like original story. But I'll have a breakdown for you at the end of both stories.
Okay. All right. Rogue flies over the city as she prepares to meet up with Cody. Oh, she calls out to him as Cody is crossing the road. Cody, I wonder what he looks like now. Is that you? Oh, you look like Ken. Are you Ken?
Oh, no.
A car almost hits him. He deftly flips over it. I know. I'm like, this is suspicious. That flip, I'm like, what kind of human can do this? He was not trained to be an assassin. So I don't know. I was like, And then he approaches Rogue. Hey, girl, you still love me? I love you. We're meant to be together. Let me hold you. Anyway, Cody asks Rogue to dinner. She reluctantly agrees.
He doesn't say, hey, girl. He says, hey, possum. I'm like, this is the ugliest nickname. I know. Who wants to be a she's possum?
Like, she's like, who said you can call me that? Yeah.
I'm not your ugly possum girl. But yeah, so I'm glad you noticed that. Like, Rogue is so nonplussed. Like, he just flipped over a car. So I'm glad you're like, wait a minute. That ain't
that's
right.
A dead
people don't just flip
right.
over a car. Yeah. All right. As Cody and Rogue walk to dinner, she regales Cody with tales of her life. Cody stops her and tries to kiss her. Rogue freaks out. Cody pulls her aside and convinces Rogue that he loves her. A brood sneaks up from behind and zaps the couple. Rogue notices something happened but doesn't know what. Rogue is excited to find Cody can kiss her without dying. Just then, she gets dizzy and faints. The brood come, and the scene cuts out.
I was very confused by this, because wasn't she established with Gambit at this point? Why is she going out with other guys and, like, kissing them and stuff?
I don't think... In the cartoon, she's, like, on again, off again with Gambit, kind of. Like, he keeps flirting with her, but they haven't really, like, committed to anything.
Okay, okay. Yeah, because he was all like ready to. He was all about her again in the beginning. Like, okay,
yeah.
He's like, I can't touch you. We can't be together. I can't touch you. He's like, oh, but I can touch Cody. Okay.
Body sugar. So, what was your reaction when Cody says, "What have I done?" What were you thinking?
I don't know. I just thought he was. I mean, I knew something was up with him. I just didn't know. I didn't pay attention to that part. I'm like, I guess she's like zapped. Like, I guess I lured her here. Oh, why is she? I'm like, oh, she's unconscious. Oh, I'm so sad. She fainted. I missed my chance to kiss her. Like that type of thing.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Back at the enslaved Akanti, Logan is taken into the ship. He breaks free, but notices he's feeling lousy. The brood attack bit Logan. The brood attack, but Logan easily dispatches them. He climbs up and out of the Akanti and escapes. A brood flies over and zaps him, but otherwise lets him go. And this is when I was like, I feel like I'm watching the Magic School Bus. Like, hey, kids, this is how the blood vessels look. Safe bounds, everyone!
It does seem like that, doesn't it? Yeah, and like they pass by Geppetto sitting in there with his little fire.
Yeah.
Very that. The zapper brood flies back to the brood queen and reports back that Logan is too strong and got away. She says, "It's no big. Logan escaping will just help them spread their colony." She pulls up video of the X-Men in action and points out Rogue as the most important one to get.
And this queen looked different than the other ones. This queen, to me, looked like a gremlin.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like she's the female gremlin, like Greta. Like, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know for a long time that like people call her Greta Gremlin. I just heard that last week, actually.
Really? I didn't. Yeah. That's funny. That's funny.
I always called her the female gremlin.
Yeah, she looks like a gremlin. Like, and the other ones don't look like that because she had that same kind of snout, the same teeth. It was very gremlin-y. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to Rogue and Cody. Rogue comes to from fainting the night before. She's like, "Did I sleep all night in a park? How crazy!"
Dude, Claire!
Like, who am I? Oh! She passed out on a bench and Cody looked after her. Cody asks Rogue to run away with him for the weekend. Rogue is cool with the plan as long as she can tell the X-Men first. Cody be fine with that.
Yeah, Cody's so like, whatever, sugar. Like, I just want to be inside you. I mean, with you.
Whatever you want.
Yeah. At a dilapidated gas station, shirtless Logan makes his way to a payphone. Payphone, Kevin. 90s moment. 90s moment.
There you go.
You got mail.
90s moments.
I've used quite a few payphones in my day.
Me too. Yes. I remember those days. Oh, wait. I'm getting a page. I need to go find a payphone.
Yes. And I had them. We had them in high school. We had a little payphone section of the halls. You can go call from high school. Oh my goodness. And once I had to get off the bus because I was stranded somewhere, I went to the gas station payphone. I'm like, I'm calling home. Yeah.
Home. Anyway, Logan makes his way to a payphone and calls Xavier. He warns the professor that the aliens are here. I feel like anywhere else they'd be like, you're fucking crazy. But here they're just like, oh no, Wolverine, tell us more.
But it's like he's like, the aliens. What is happening?
Wolverine, usually pretty hard to understand, mon ami, but not like that. So Gambit, Storm, and Beast over here and come closer to listen in. The team gets to work on locating Wolverine's position when Rogue walks in. She asks for personal time. Xavier tells her Wolverine's in trouble. It's not a good time. But Rogue, she doesn't care. She wants that Cody D. Rogue walks out to join Cody, much to Gambit's alarm.
Yeah, what a homewrecker Cody is.
Well, I'm also like mad at Rogue right now. Like, they're like, Wolverine is in trouble, maybe dying. And she's like, want to be with Cody.
I know. Oh, it's like, you got plenty of X-Men peoples here that can do the job. You don't need little old me.
I never ask for personal time.
It's like, I fought for you for 10 years or whatever.
Yeah. I'm like, girl, give it a rest.
The X-Men take off in the Blackbird, leaving Rogue and Cody behind. They kiss passionately, but just then, Rogue has a pang of pain in her core. Rogue recovers, and next we see the happy couple in a jet, flown by Rogue. Cody doesn't want to ruin the surprise of where they're headed.
How do you even, like, ruin that surprise? oh, honey, I'm taking you to an alien spaceship so that they could, like, take over both of our bodies so we could be together.
Right. Right. Crazy.
Crazy. Meanwhile, on the Blackbird, Storm notices someone down on the ground. Beast recognizes it to be Logan. The Blackbird lands to fight Wolvie. The Blackbird lands to find Wolvie sweaty and writhing in pain. He reassures the team he's fine. Focus on the brood. Don't worry about me. Worry about them.
Yeah, right? I'm nothing special.
I've got a healing factor.
The brood queen gremlin reminds her aliens to not kill the X-Men, and they attack. Just then, Rogue's jet shows up. Rogue lands as Cody is in pain. Cody apologizes for what he did. It was the only way. Rogue catches a falling Storm and puts her on her feet.
So we get an amazing Storm line here again. Be gone, hissing vermin!
I did put that in my notes. Oh, and that was right after I put a note about how much I love Beast's glasses again. Because Beast in those glasses is so hot to me. I love those little round glasses.
You know, that's why Stanley made Beast. He thought it would be fun to have, like, the hulking strong character, but then be really smart and, like, docile. So I do like that they kind of play with that in the show, in the glasses, and in the way that he's so, like, thoughtful.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Cool. The X-Men are surrounded. Storm watches in terror as Wolverine transforms into a green hybrid brood thingy. Or a reptilian, if you will. Take that, conspiracy theorists. The reptilians are here at X-Men. Being the 11 that he is, Wolverine yells and runs away. Rogue realizes this is all Cody's fault. Cody says he didn't know they would come after the others. Rogue starts to transform as Storm calls out to Xavier.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, the whole, like, he does it a lot. Ah! Like, where are you going?
Like, right into the cave. The other time is when Sabretooth threw snow in his eyes and he went, yeah.
Or that one time he ran out of a bar, too, like that, out into the wilderness. Right. Like, why does he do this?
Morph turned into Jean, I think it was. He went running.
Yeah. I was like, I love Cyclops. Ah!
Wolverine, we love you.
This was like the turning point, maybe a little bit earlier, because like at the beginning of this episode, I was really kind of into him. Like, okay, his old acquaintance comes, you're getting into some Rogue love, and then when this whole alien thing went off the rails, I'm like, okay, I'm losing it.
Yeah. I know. This is a very tragic episode, especially for Cody, I think.
Yeah. In a cave a little ways away, Wolverine struggles with the brood inside him. His healing factor kicks into overdrive and expels it from his body.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, get it, Wolverine.
You're so lucky.
Yes. The brood carry the unconscious X-Men into their Akanti ship, leaving Rogue and Cody alone as they transform. Rogue-rogue-gasms. The brood queen approaches and tries to reassure Rogue that it's for the better. Like, you can be a reptilian with us, and it's cool because at least you'll rule our people and you'll be with Cody. She explains that Rogue is destined to be the next queen. Their form of reproduction is to infect other bodies. The queen admits to using Cody to get to Rogue.
Yeah. It was all part of the plan.
This is very alien because with the whole like xenomorphs and the brood, the original version even looks similar to the xenomorphs. Xenomorphs also have to implant in a person. So I've never realized just how much like the xenomorphs the brood is.
Yeah. That's crazy. They've been watching them for how long?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So we waited for an opportune moment. As Rogue apologizes to Cody, he says there's no need. It's too late to apologize. He loves Rogue enough to be with her however he can, even as an alien. Just then, Wolverine sneaks up behind. From behind, he grabs Rogue, forcing her to absorb his healing factor. Take my powers, Rogue! Heal yourself! Rogue heals, and her and Wolverine ditch Cody to free the other X-Men. I was very disturbed by all these transformations, though, before. Like, all the green things. Too much green in my face. I was in these red eyes. I did not like that.
Yeah, they're disturbed. Very scary looking. Yeah. Like, I question Cody's boundaries where he's like, I don't care what you look like. I just want to be with you. I'm like, girl, do you see her, though?
Right.
All right. As they free the team, the Brood Queen and Cody bring guards to surround Rogue and Logan. So apparently that's where Cody went because they just walked away from him. But he comes back with the Queen. The Queen tells them that this is their last shot at surviving and they ain't giving up. Rogue spins, knocking the Brood away with unconscious Beast and Gambit. The two make a run for it with their team in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
As she is being carried away by Logan, Storm comes to and calls out to Xavier. He psychically tells her, I can't get through, but... get through the Brood's defenses. It's like they're too strong. But however, I did notice the mind of the Akanti. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, they have taken over. It has been enslaved. I sense it. Xavier focuses on getting through to the Akanti and breaking it free of its mental servitude. Didn't account for this, Brood bitches. So, ha 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 ha. Ha ha ha.
Back in the Akanti, Rogue and Wolverine are locked in battle with the Brood. They're surrounded. The Brood tries once more to change Wolverine and Ragu, but they zap them. The Queen demands Rogue take into the Spore Chamber. Knowing Wolverine can purge the spores, the Queen orders him killed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like, we did not anticipate this. He can take over. He can heal our spores. We did not know this. Oh, of course, it's weird. You've been watching them for like 20 years and you didn't know this. Okay.
Yeah, I know. They should have known. I guess, like, to their defense, like, they may not have known to what extent his healing factor could go, sure. But
yeah.
They should have had an inkling.
Yeah. All right. 21. Just then, the Akanti cries out in anger. Oh! What's that? It's beautiful! The ship begins to move. The Brood are plussed. Plussed? What is that?
I figure drag queens say nonplussed, so the opposite of nonplussed is plussed.
See, I don't know all the lingo. I'm still... Okay. I'm so bad at it. Like, on Marvelous Galaxy of Disney, plug, you talked about all, like, the lingo. Or was that one of them? Yeah, you're talking about, like, drag queen lingo. And it's funny, like, I know some things. What's not a cult? But I don't know all of it. I know some things, but not all of it. So I didn't know this one.
Okay. Well, I got you, girl.
All right. The Brood are plussed by the noise of the Akanti's wails. Rogue watches as Cody falls down in pain. She's confused since the Akanti's whales are beautiful. Yeah, see?
Ooh. I'm pretty. All right. The Akanti flies into space for reasons and then U-turns back to Earth just to land again. To let the X-Men leave, and Rogue asks Cody to come with her, but he Leah Michelle's at her and leaves. Rogue feels bad for Cody, and Wolverine comforts her.
There, there.
There, there. There, there, bub. Get over it, bub.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was our little episode. So, this one heavily adapts X-Men 161 to 166, where they are set upon by the Brood. And actually, I just read today when I was researching, somebody actually was like, the Dark Phoenix saga is like the ultimate space epic, but the Brood saga comes in a close second because it's so epic, because we see the Brood actually like subdue the X-Men. We see Cyclops actually turn into a Brood. We see Kitty is struggling with it, and she almost kind of decides to kill herself rather than turn. We see Storm like basically like, I'm not going to die as a Brood. I'm going to get naked and fly out into space. Die my own way. So like the Brood actually beat the X-Men in that moment. Like they had them dead to rights. There's no way to turn them back. But what ends up happening is Storm connects with the Akanti, and she's able to kind of help set it free. And once the Akanti's free, and once the Akanti are able to throw their prophet singer into a star and like have the next prophet singer, the prophet singer is the one who turns them all back into human.
Wow. So,
yeah. A lot of other things happen too in these comics. They're very notable for, this is when Kitty meets Lockheed in this little space epic. So that's why we chose Lockheed as our expose. See, it came around eventually.
Yeah.
This is also when on Earth, Professor X, fearing that his X-Men were dead or sensing that they were dead, he freaked out and he started the New Mutants, Kevin. Yeah. And then also notable in this little saga is Carol Danvers, who is at this point depowered because Rogue absorbed her powers, is hanging out with the X-Men in space. She's like, hey, this is fun. I'm a human. But then her binary persona comes out. So if you haven't seen Binary, she's like all red and flamey and fiery. And it was kind of a way to have her still have powers. Some people say that she went into her binary mode in the MCU when she's fighting Thanos, when she gets like super flamey.
Okay. Yeah.
And Binary has actually come back into the comics recently. Like the binary persona splits from Carol. So there's like two Carols.
Weird.
Okay. So yeah, it's Binary. It says here was kind of a latent, manifestation of her old power. She kind of made a secondary persona, and then eventually they came together into one. And that's how she kind of had powers until she got the Miss Marvel powers back and then turned into Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. And then in Rogue, there's a Rogue miniseries from 1994, Rogue 1 through 4. And in that one, we see, like, this was 1995. Rogue is getting closer and closer to Gambit. And there's somebody who doesn't really like that, Kevin. Can you imagine who wouldn't want Rogue and Gambit to be together?
Who doesn't want Rogue and Gambit to be together? Of another X-Men?
It was Belladonna.
Her. Oh.
Yeah.
I still have your rag.
So in Rogue 1 through 4, Cody's in the hospital unconscious, and Belladonna captures him in order to entice Rogue and Gambit to come after her as kind of a revenge thing. And eventually what happens is Rogue kind of, my interpretation at least, is she connects with the Cody persona in her mind, where he's still a little child from when they kissed, and he kind of like forgives her, and she kind of like okays him to go, and he dies in her mind. He like walks through a light door, and then the Cody body in real life also dies at that point.
So she was kind of keeping him alive. In her, oh my gosh,
it's like, yeah, Kingdom Hearts. Cody just does not have a good story. I know, it is Kingdom Hearts. Yeah. So which would you say you like better? Like the way he goes in the comics or the way in this turning into an alien?
The comics for sure. The yeah. alien's just weird, and it doesn't feel respectful to the character. You know, for somebody that was a huge part of Rogue's, you know, history and turmoil and discovery, you know, I think he deserved better than that. So,
yeah, and it just makes me, like, I'd rather him die than, like, live his life out as an alien, since he's not mm-hmm. with Rogue. He gave up everything to be with her, and then he flies off in a spaceship. Like, it kind of sucks.
Yeah. Right, and something he had no control, because this one is like, yeah, they just took him over control. He had no choice in the matter. He was completely taken. Like, at least this, there was a moment to say goodbye. There was that, you know, space in Rogue's headspace where she was still thinking about him in one way or another, and giving him the freedom to go and releasing him. That's beautiful, and that's nice, and that's respectful. So, yeah, I get it.
Good. I'm glad we're on the same page. So, Kevin, what did you think of this episode? I think you've already kind of told me.
Yeah, I'm gonna exit out. Yeah, and that's very rare for me to do that to the episodes. I don't think there's very many that I would choose, but I'm gonna X out this one. It started strong enough and then got real weird real quick, and I'm just like, eh.
Yeah, I would echo that. I'm gonna exit out too. And I mean, there's not really an episode that I completely dislike or wouldn't watch from this series, but this one, like, it's sad. It doesn't really add much. Like, it's just a reinforcement of, like, Rogue is so lonely. She can't touch anyone. Mm-hmm. It's a reinforcement that she wants to be with someone. But we've already kind of, like, gotten that established. Over and over again. Stuff we know. Yeah.
Yeah. So this just is get definitely told stuff filler. We know. Yeah. And I get nightmares. So don't like that either.
No, are you going to get nightmares from this girl?
I might. Dream of bug-eyed green things in my face. Ugh! Get out of my face.
Are you going to dream of me with a bug face being like, Kevin, I love you.
See, now if they turn this around and made the Wolverine porn like I wanted, then there might be another story, you know?
Okay. Well, speaking of Wolverine porn, who's your MXP?
You know, I did have Wolverine for a minute because I did think he was very good at fighting off the Brood and, you know, coming to Rogue with his healing factor. That was nice. But I'm actually going to give it to Storm for reaching out to Xavier, because without that, then they wouldn't have been able to stop, you know, get the fish free.
So. Fish. No, you're right. Like, between the two of them, like, those would be my picks too. I went with Wolverine yeah. only because without his healing factor, we would mm-hmm. have lost Rogue. Like, we wouldn't yeah. have had her anymore. I'm sure they would have figured something out, but yeah, it would have been sad. And actually, without setting Rogue free, they would have gotten the other X-Men too, probably. I just realized that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oofta.
What would you say is the X Factor?
Call me shallow, but I'm just saying Wolverine shirtless the entire episode. He was shirtless this whole episode. And that's a very Wolverine thing to do, a very X-Men thing to do. I was here for that. So there you go.
Shallow.
Yeah.
You told me to.
Well, you know, it's true.
It's true. I'm gonna say the Akanti, because I think we've never really gotten to see them in action before, so it's really cool that even though they changed up the Brood so much, we at least got to see the Akanti and kind of hear its story. Mm. So I like that aspect.
Yeah, nice.
And Wolverine be shirtless. Mm-hmm. All right, would you like your previously on question for this week?
Sure.
So your question is, would you let yourself be transformed into an alien to be with the one you love?
Oh. Well, is it this kind of alien, or can it be a different kind of alien?
this kind of alien.
All right. Then no. I'm like, bye.
No.
Sorry.
I'm sure, like, if you turn into one of them, maybe you'd find your partner attractive. Maybe you'd start to lose your humanity and be like, hey, hot stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't want to test that theory.
Right. And I don't want to lose me. I'd be afraid of losing who I am and being completely overrun by whatever spores or virus or whatever this is and become, like, weird, some weird amalgamation of foreign parts. I don't know.
Yeah, because especially in the end, Cody couldn't even form words anymore. So, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Which is weird because other brood could talk in this, but he just growls.
Oh my gosh, you just reminded me of something that was really stupid and funny in this episode, too.
What?
I forgot to mention. It was after he, like, transformed for, like, the third time because he's, like, hit his head with the hair, and then he's like, my head got bigger, and now I'm, like, scarier alien. I wonder what I have in the note. He says, like, I can't lose you again. And then he's like, okay. Just shuffles off screen. Like, what? That was so random.
That is random.
It's like, it's just, they didn't go together. I can't lose you again.
Bye. That's funny. Well, cool. So that takes us to the episode. So the next one, I don't know if you're going to guess this. The next episode is The Juggernaut Returns. What do you think happens in The Juggernaut Returns?
Oh, let me see. I may have to think really hard. Maybe The Juggernaut Returns? Question mark?
But wait till you see how he returns. There's a little twist to this, but I'm not going to tell you what.
Is this the one with Proteus?
No.
Is that a different episode? So remember there's one Proteus where he's like, oh, okay. Because I remember that episode. He's like, Myra, your son is my son. Oh, let's get him. I remember that one. Okay.
No, next episode we get to kind of see, like, a vulnerable side to Juggernaut. Let's say that.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Fun.
So we'll see how you like him after this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So that takes us through season 3, actually. We get to end on this kind of lackluster episode. So we're going to take a
small break. Yeah, what a weird finale. Here.
I know, it is. Well, and it's kind of the network's fault, too, in that they kept throwing wrenches into the system, so the show just kind of, like, went the way it did in a way. But we're going to take a small break since both of us have some busy stuff coming up in our lives. We're going to return in March with season 4 for you.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And we probably should do a season 3 quiz at some point, Kevin. We got to put your knowledge to the test.
Oh, I'm going to suck at this season. This season, like, was, like, really widespread. I'm probably going to – yeah, like my legs. But, yeah, I feel like I'm not going to be so out of it for this quiz. But sure, we'll take it.
Yeah. And if people want more of you until March, where can they find you?
Yeah. Okay. You can follow my other podcast where Sean is helping me go over the Charmed comics at Words of the Witches, all the places. Yeah. Or you can follow my personal Instagram, KGZ87.
Yay! Ta-da. And if you miss me until then, you can find me on Once Upon a Cult, which is now back. Marvelous Galaxy will be on a little bit of a pause for 2 weeks while we're in France. But you can always catch up on those. You can find my book, Witches Brew, on Amazon. And feel free to leave a rating. If I get enough ratings, then they could put the book in stores. Amazon, stop. They could put it in their stores. So that would be amazing. So help a bitch out.
I did recommend your book to a coworker, actually.
Wow, thank you. Because
he because he was talking about another book that sounded similar. I'm like, hey, that sounds like my friend's book. They should read that one.
Oh, I'm all tingly now.
And then I found out on Amazon, I'm like, look, there it is.
Thanks, girl. That's how the word gets out.
Exactly.
All right, cool. Then did we mention everything? We did. Yeah. All right.
I think so.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in a few
weeks.
We
did it.
Yay!
Sexy, sexy, exes.
Sexy, exes. Blah, 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 blah.